having written a script for this, then you begin to wonder if it's exactly what fits, but we'll have a go. The title I was given has been changed to The Evolution of the Citizen Correspondent. I'm working on The Evolution of the Citizen Journalist, which it has a different meaning. The title suggests that there's a being which has evolved and which is identifiable as the citizen journalist. And in a sense, that is true, and in a sense, I am one myself. I generate comment, reportage, video and photojournalism on the internet on my own initiative. I also earn my living mostly as a freelance journalist for print and broadcast media. What follows is a reflection on the difference between these two roles and how they interact with each other. Some may say that much of what I post on social media and in blogs is not really journalism at all. It's just trivia, opinion, provocation and nice pictures of birds in my garden. If you laugh, you'll be using up my time. I would have to retort that all of these are the kind of things you also find in newspapers, magazines and radio programmes, put there by professional journalists and photographers at the bidding of editors. Social media content is not strictly journalism because it's not printed in a journal, a daily paper, but diversity of expression is not a bar to it being defined as such. I've been a journalist for most of my working life, and my work under that title has included political polemic, reportage, hillwalking, obituaries, broadcast interviews, and even made-up letters to the editor. Some might think that social media-based citizen journalism is more playful and more wide-ranging than the demands that might be made of a staffer on a provincial newspaper, but I doubt that. Only last week, reporting for the Belfast Telegraph, I was asked to pose at the top of a cliff on the north coast, waving a loyalist-embellished saltire at the Mull of Kintyre because the desk wanted what it called an arty shot. Journalism, by its nature, provides scope for creative mischief and playfulness. Others find these same pleasures in social media and blogging. That they are playing, seeking attention, even annoying, is not enough to allow us to say that what they do is not journalism. I do my social media journalism for no remuneration, like uncountable others doing similar. Some journalists will argue that that alone disqualifies this work from being regarded as journalism. Journalism, they would say, is a profession. It is work that is paid for. What I do online is a hobby. And that's true up to a point. The fact of being paid for my published journalism in newspapers does seem to dignify it and lift it above the online stuff. Payment is one way of demarcating difference between real journalists and online dabblers. But payment doesn't define work as journalism. If I was being paid to write advertising copy or political propaganda, would I call that journalism? And I am faced with the unpleasant reality that newspapers pay contributors as little as they can get away with and would be a lot happier if they didn't have to pay us at all. If the money is what distinguished journalism from some amateurish dilettantism, then we would have to acknowledge that journalism is dying out because fees are dying out. Few will admit that they write for no fee, but I do occasionally. The reader cannot distinguish an unpaid for article from one that got a great fee, so the money does not add anything to the question of whether the work is real journalism or not. The money issue is about the defence of the professional rights of working journalists. Journalism, like other creative activities, suffers from the attractiveness of the work. Some people will happily write for nothing more than the pleasure of having a byline in a newspaper. There are union rates for the work, but these are not widely observed. I write mainly for two newspapers, one of which pays three times as much as the other for the same type of article. A time may come when papers won't pay writers at all. Some outlets are already laying off photographers and trusting that they can always get pictures from the scene of a story because there will be people there with smartphones taking them and uploading. Money paid to journalists is being eroded by citizen journalism and the internet, but that does not mean that money features in the definition of work as journalism. And there have always been people who wrote for newspapers out of love of writing and opinionating or out of a desire to get a start in the profession. Remember Gerry Anderson saying, we quoted after he died recently, saying that he would have done it for free, and I think that probably applies to a lot of people who are addicted to self-expression. I hope doesn't sound like an unkind remark about the man. I'm wondering if they're any different from the citizen journalist of today, many of whom aspire to, these people who dabble in, if they aspire to career, sorry. And there have always been people who wrote for newspapers out of love of writing and opinionating, or out of a desire to get a start in the profession. I'm wondering if they are any different from the citizen journalist of today, many of whom aspire to careers in journalism and see creating an online profile as an aid to that. My approach is fashioned by a career in journalism. My citizen journalism is complementary to my professional paid journalism. It sometimes attracts commissions and it augments my profile. For me personally, there's no precise boundary between the two. I sound off on Facebook about the implications of Scottish independence, and I get invited onto the Nolan Show by a producer who has read my comments, and I get paid for talking to Nolan, £50 if you want to know. That is roughly how citizen journalism interacts with mainstream broadcasting for me and brings in money. The internet gives me a freedom that the professional structures do not. For instance, I'm a writer, I'm not a photographer. That demarcation is strong, and I would still defend it in mainstream media, but not on the internet. I recently did an interview with an artist for the Belfast Telegraph, Geordie Morrow. After the interview, I asked him if I could take his photograph for my photo blog, mal.pics. And it amused him that I decided against PowerPoint, but mal.pics, remember that. It's easy to remember. It amused him that I could not take his picture for the Geordie. It amused Geordie that I could not take his picture for the paper. A separate professional journalist would be sent out to do that. That rule comes from the NUJ, and it is devised to protect work. It also has a professional value in that a reporter can concentrate better on an interview when not having to seek out picture angles at the same time. That's why most, but not all, television journalists still work with camera operators, certainly on serious documentary work. So the freedom to diversify is a characteristic of citizen journalism that distinguishes it from professional journalism. So also is freedom from professional or house guidelines on taste and decency. Alan here reminded me when I came in today of a blog piece that I did, which was a slideshow on roadkill. You know, and for weeks I went around carrying a camera, and every time I saw a dead fox or badger by the side of the road, I photographed it and I put together a little slideshow and scripted a commentary on that. And which nobody commented on because it was so disgusting and lurid, and really any of my friends who saw it on Facebook thought, oh, poor Malachi, he's lost it altogether. But then I went to the BBC and I said, you know, there's a serious issue about the carnage on the roads, you know, animals. Should we do an item on this? And they said, no, we don't really like that idea at all. But I did talk them into doing it, but there was an inherent, innate resistance to addressing a subject which involved the discussion of dead bodies of animals by the side of the road and how people react to them. I did a vox pop for a radio programme which had to be edited because two people on it said they were on drugs, which means they were participating in the commission of a crime, and used the word fuck a lot. But I had no problem sharing the fuller version on a blog. It was, of course, just a fuller version and not the whole unedited recording, because all audio journalism is edited, even citizen journalism, if the producer has any sense. But the internet does not set the standard you should work to. Your pictures may be overexposed and out of focus. Your grammar and spelling may be appalling. You may think that the issue you're dealing with warrants 7,000 words of text without paragraph breaks. The internet will not reject it. So that freedom contrasts sharply with the constraints on the working reporter or jobbing freelance. It does not, however, contrast as sharply with the position of the editors, who can put what they like on the front page. The citizen journalist is essentially an editor. Some of the distinctions between citizen journalism and the internet and those of the professional in print arise from the characteristics of the media themselves. Print can't be rubbed off the page as easily as text can be removed from the internet. There are advantages and disadvantages. You can remedy your mistakes, but you can also come under pressure to remove content, even when your editorial judgment would stand over it. You can be harassed, or you may just want to reconsider. The fluidity of the text or the video may make it essentially unfinishable. I did an interview and pick with a local artist. She didn't like it and phoned me up several times over a couple of days, yelling abuse at me and telling me to take the stuff down. Had it been in a newspaper or a scheduled broadcast programme, it would have been safely out and there would have been nothing she could have done about it. But on the internet it can be erased, and the pressure to erase can be strong. So I just took it down for the sake of peace of mind and my mental health. In professional journalism, there are deadlines beyond which a job is done or not done. Digital work remains open to revision forever. Of course, it rarely gets revised and hangs about forever in its incomplete state to rebuke you for your feelings. In mainstream broadcasting, one of the primary arts is scheduling. If you go to the BBC with an idea for a series about cycling or wine tasting, the first question they'll ask you is, what time slot do you envisage this filling? YouTube will never ask you that. And the internet erodes the value of the broadcaster's intuition on when is the best time to put out a program, because we can access it online to suit ourselves. The big difference between what I do as a citizen journalist and a professional is that I'm answerable only to myself for what I do as a citizen on my own initiative on the internet. I come up with the projects and the ideas, I publish them and I manage the response. I am my own editor, but am I? If I get sued, then I will have to take the hit and remortgage my own house to fight the case. In that sense, I am responsible, but I do not believe that I am the sole creator of the work. I have the cheek, as an untrained photographer, to publish my work on the net and link it through Facebook. The net then becomes an influence on me and how I work. On one level, it enables others to critique my work and give advice, peer training. On another, it just reminds me when I look around how drab and cliched and common some of my own work is. There's an awful lot of people out there photographing flowers. Feedback on the internet is an editorial influence. Last week I put up a series of pictures of horses and cows grazing among ragwort and thistles in Donegal. This I thought was a very important issue. One commentator sent me a link to the Noxious Weeds Act of 1936. I commend it to you. And that, so an observation evolved then into a well-informed real story. And then the comments came in from others who say ragwort isn't really such a big deal anyway. So an evolved discussion, an evolving discussion. Citizen journalism is interactive. It may sometimes be the simple posting of a story and end there. But that is only likely if no one notices it or takes an interest, in which case it is surely a failure as journalism, which requires an audience. My own experience is that though my work is in the mainstream media attracted comment, even when it reached a far wider audience, that was a passive audience with little inclination to respond. I worked for decades with major programmes on Radio Ulster, like Sunday Sequence and Talkback. I'm sure I never... People talk about letters pouring in after a programme. You really should sit in the BBC offices and see how many letters come in. I think I would have got about half a dozen letters from listeners per year, not per week or per day, and half of them are from eccentrics who do actually use green ink, you know? Often on research shift, I worked with the phones for Talkback in pre-internet days, and on a very good day, the programme would get 70 calls from an audience of 100,000. I often get as many comments as that on Facebook with less than 3,000 friends. So another difficulty in demarcating between citizen journalism and mainstream media is that the broadcasters and newspapers also use the internet. The mainstream media now interacts with social media, primarily motivated, I think, to capture some of that reactivity of tweeters. I was going to go on for another couple of minutes, but I actually at the limit of my time pretty closely, and Steve's looking pretty scary there, so I'll wrap it up there. But essentially the point that I was moving towards concluding is that that there isn't a viable demarcation point between citizen journalism and mainstream journalism. That there have always been, there have always been casual journalists. There have always been dabblers who found the casual route into mainstream journalism. Even the most ordinary provincial paper would have its gardening correspondent, an academic writing editorials for it, somebody from a photographic club sending in pictures. So the interaction between the casual journalist and the professional has always been there. But what is interesting and what is different is that whereas the citizen journalist was directly answerable to an editor, the citizen journalism is still answerable to someone, and that someone is the commentator and their peers, and I find that a very healthy and wonderful thing. Since I didn't get finished this, and there's not a lot more in it, I'll stick it up online later and you can read it yourselves. Thank you very much indeed. I hope that was of interest.